ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Did he lend weight? That's the rule. Did he lend weight? Yes, he did. No try. It's not that difficult, you know, but they're making it really difficult at the moment.
That is Roosters coach Trent Robinson, who is salty after the Chooks lost a thriller to the Storm. And you know what? He might have a point. We're going to explain why the NRL Premiership winner has lined up officials again. In the AFL, the Bulldogs said shh to their critics to kick off a round full of litmus tests. And Caitlin Clark is the biggest name in women's basketball in a long time. So how much do you reckon she's going to be paid? The answer to that in a second. Plus, a free chicken-themed soundbites. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Emma Lawrence from Channel 9 is here to talk NRL. And the round has kicked off with a typically clutch Storm win, but Trent Robinson has grabbed the headlines. Emma, why is the Chooks coach angry? And is he right to be?
Oh, few reasons why Robbo's angry. He was filthy at the bunker, said.
It hasn't been good enough. And it was really simple, these decisions tonight.
Without getting too technical, to try and explain it, so there were two decisions. So one try from the Melbourne Storm, where Ellie Katoa scored.
Coming down short of the line, up goes Jennings. It's taken in the end by Ellie Katoa. He's into the in-goal area. He's held up. Then he ends up on his tummy, and he thinks he scored, Ellie Katoa. He has. Try, says Ashley Klein. What about the mixed lollies of Ellie Katoa tonight?
Essentially, you can't get help from one of your players to essentially put weight or to help push you over, in a sense. It's like Nelson Asofa Solomona helped push Ellie Katoa over. In my opinion, I think Robbo's within his rights to be mad at that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's really clear. The rules are really clear. They came out at the end of the year, and if you lend weight to a tackler in a stationary or forward momentum, then it'll either be stopped, or if it's in a try scoring, it'll be a penalty. It was really simple.
That one was given a try. So that was the first one. The second one was the final try from Xavier Coates.
Here's a crossfield kick. This one right on the goal line. The ball comes off the Roosters, I believe. Picked up by Bloor. Then there is six to go. Another stab kick by Grant. Cleaned up by Xavier Coates. He reaches out and he smashes it nearly through the ground. Try to Xavier Coates.
So essentially, a kick went up. He thinks that his players were taken out in the contest. Firstly, Joey Manu, there was a hand on Joey Manu, and that Connor Watson was taken out. So the NRL have brought in this new rule this year, the disruptor rule. It's basically to eliminate players not intentionally going up for the ball, just pretending like they're going for the ball and taking out the opposition player. So they've been really strict on that. And once again, you know, like, I think Robbo is within his right. I think everyone was saying, oh, a player's been taken out. We were trying to work out. It was chaos. There were a lot of players in the one spot.
If you're not going for the ball, you can't contact our player without going for the contest. That's a disruptor. Like, it's really simple, the rules.
Once again, the decision went against the Roosters. So it will be interesting when Graeme Annesley speaks early next week as to whether he agrees and thinks the Roosters got robbed.
That was beautifully explained. A complex issue made simple by Emma Lawrence. We'll keep our eye on that one. Looking at the rest of the round, and the Tigers, they're at home against Penrith, and they're not just clashing on field this week in many regards. What did West's Tigers coach Benji Marshall say today about one of his rising stars and that player being linked to the Penrith Panthers?
Yeah, so James Fisher-Harris, one of the best props in the game, is leaving the Panthers, which we heard earlier this week. He's going across to the Warriors. Then now, obviously, there's chat about who's going to replace him at the Panthers. And apparently on the top of the list for the Panthers is Stefano Uitoikamanu. And this just gets a bit technical, but Stefano actually has a clause in his contract that at the end of this year, if he either hasn't played two Origin games or the Tigers make the top eight, then he's free to look at another club. So there are not many players who actually have those clauses, but I guess it gives the player protection that if he's not doing well, the club's not doing well, he can leave. So for that reason, the Panthers can actually take a look at him. That means that, you know, he's on the top of the hit list. Benji Marshall today said,
yeah, he's definitely in the top two or three front rows in the game at the moment. And from a club's point of view, we see him as a long-term prospect for us. And yeah, we've expressed that to him.
Yeah, just another interesting storyline ahead of that battle between the Tigers and Panthers tomorrow.
The other game that's really caught our eye this weekend is Brisbane hosting the Raiders. It looks pivotal. Is this the moment the Broncos side gets some momentum, or are the TV shows going to be using terms like Raiders, the real deal, after a Green Machine win early next week?
I think I could definitely see either storyline, I guess, coming to fruition. The Raiders off the back of that epic golden point win over the Titans last week.
Tarponet's caught 15 metres outstanding in the tackle. 16 seconds remaining as it goes now to Fogarty. Drop goal from Fogarty. He's kicked it. He's kicked it. And the Raiders have won at Campbell Stadium.
They've surprised many. I don't think many experts actually had them in their top eight, but someone like Ethan Strange, that young 5'8", has just been incredible.
And it goes to Strange through. Try! Try, Raiders! Great individual effort from Ethan Strange. He carried players with him across the line.
But on the other hand, I mean, the Broncos, grand finalists from last year, it's hard to write them off. They've had a tough run with injuries. Reece Walsh's second game back, I think he'll be better for that first game back after the fractured cheekbone. The Broncos are still missing Adam Reynolds and Payne Haas, so two of their top three players, you would say. But the thing is, they've got depth there at the Broncos, so if they're missing a couple of stars, they can cover that. The fact that it's up in Queensland, I'd be tipping the Broncos, but this should be one of the best matches of the round. So much to look forward to, Stacky.
Emma Lawrence, thanks so much for breaking it all down for us. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you.
You probably heard about Caitlin Clark going number one in the WNBA draft this week. When this woman plays, stadiums fill, social media engages, jerseys sell, people watch TV, lots of people, 18.9 million people watched her and Iowa State lose the NCAA championship game. That's more than any college basketball game in TV history, male or female. She's expected to transform the WNBA. So it was jarring when it was revealed she'd received, checks notes, $76,000 US in the first year of her rookie deal. But under the WNBA collective bargaining agreement, that's it. That's what the deal says she can make. In contrast, the number one NBA pick will receive $10.5 million in their first year. People are pissed. There's lots of conversation about fairness and pay gaps. Even Joe Biden tweeted about it. Caitlin's not going to go poor. There are rumours of a US $20 million sponsorship deal with Nike, but it's kind of not the point. And it kind of speaks to the speed at which women's sport is changing and evolving and surpassing and outstripping the structures that govern those sports. My ABC colleague Emily Clark wrote an excellent piece, and some of the numbers she quotes give great context. The NBA annual revenue is $15 billion Australian. WNBA, $310 million. Many will rightfully argue this is about economics as much as gender, and they might rightfully point to the fact the NBA has had an extra 50 years to become a multi-billion dollar business. Parity is going to take time. Though, as Emily noted, when the NBA was the same age as the WNBA is right now, the year was 1974. The number one pick was Bill Walton, who signed a five-year deal, reported to be worth US $2 million. Something feels off. Aussie Rules time with commentator Matt Clinch. This round of AFL feels like litmus round. There are litmus tests everywhere I look, and it kicked off with the Western Bulldogs thumping St Kilda. Leading into this game, Clinchy, the word you heard around coach Luke Beveridge and this club was confusion about the list, the coach, the direction of the club. Did that win provide you clarity?
It provided an impressive response. It restored a bit of faith internally and externally that their best is still good enough. And while they were 60-point winners last night and they jumped out of the blocks with 7-1, I think the issue is still going to be, can they consistently do it? They've had a string of matches where they have big wins and then they lose the next week. So Fremantle on the road, they get the chance to turn it around next week.
We haven't always bounced out of healthy wins as part of our growth now and our maturity as a team to bounce out of a pretty impressive win into a good account of ourselves in Perth against Fremantle next week.
The interesting part out of last night, with Jamari Ugalhagen missing, it's probably the best their forward line had looked for some time. Aaron Norton with a career equaling 6 goals. He took 3 contested marks.
From home, he puts it towards the teeth of goal. Rory lobs there. Norton in the back. He's got it again. He's unstoppable tonight, Aaron Norton.
Alongside Sam Darcy. And Rory Lobb, who's a bit of a fan favourite in terms of the criticism, he also had 9 inside 50s. So there was actually some functions that really worked for the Bulldogs last night. The challenge has been that Luke Beveridge is often lacking creativity. He doesn't want to change his system too often, and he's pretty stubborn in his approach that he thinks his way is the only way.
I'm so interested in Collingwood and Port Adelaide going head-to-head Saturday afternoon at the MCG, Clinchy. The Power, they have dealt with the controversy around Jeremy Finlayson this week. The Pies, they're coming off a bye and they need to win just to stay in touch with the eight. Does this feel like a litmus test for both teams and a real gauge as to how legitimate both are?
Absolutely. Port Adelaide have capitalised on a good start to the season. They're third on the ladder, four wins and one loss.
Elation for the Power. Hopeful. The power surge continues.
They've won the equal amount of quarters so far this season with 16. So they've had a really good start to the season. But then the challenge to come to the MCG and do it against Collingwood. The Pies have had a good record against Port Adelaide, winning three of their last four. And as you said, Collingwood with wins over Brisbane at the Gabba and Hawthorn, they've got their season going. But off the bye, they need to now try and build some momentum. And no better place to do it at the MCG. As you said, I think we'll get a statement out of this match. If Port Adelaide can do with their midfield to Collingwood what they've done to other sides, that'll be an impressive statement. They can do it anywhere, especially away from the Adelaide Oval. If Collingwood win, we'll think they're back in town because they've taken down a contender.
Speaking of legitimacy, it's been fashionable to bag the blue baggers this week after that loss last week to the Crows. They take on Greater Western Sydney. I mean, can the Giants cope with Carlton's enormous forward line, given they're going to be missing key defender Sam Taylor?
Yeah, we like to see Carlton return, don't we? We don't want to see them too high. We want to see them back at sort of a normality. So suffered their first loss last week against Adelaide, but the hamstring injuries, the soft tissue injuries, no Saad or McGovern. And the Blues have actually lost three of their last four against GWS at Docklands. The Giants are the intrigue for me. On top of the ladder, but they had the challenge now of no Sam Taylor, no Steve Canelio. Of course, they're playing against the Blues, who have Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow.
Off to Akers, who kicked the Blues back inside 50. To Koning in the air, doesn't mark. Curnow, road snaps and goals. If Harry doesn't get you, Charlie will.
It feels like, on paper, this is a game where Carlton could really run a number if they're able to dominate in the middle of the ground. But the Giants have been a strength of theirs. They only lost the contested possession for the first time last week against St Kilda in the middle of the ground. So this is going to be a good gauge as to whether the Giants have enough cattle to challenge the Blues.
In Brisbane, Geelong is chasing 6-0 to start the season. Few saw it coming. Is this the moment they might finally drop a game against the Lions side, who feels like they're beginning to get their groove back?
Maybe. I mean, they had a really good tune-up against North Melbourne, winning by 75 points. Then you look at the team and they had Tom Hawkins, Patrick Dangerfield, Jake Colajasny comes back in. So it feels like Geelong have set themselves knowing that this is a good test. They're going to learn as to how good they are in 2024. The Brisbane Lions, they had a great win against Melbourne.
His shot won't matter. Brisbane are back looking like the Lions of old. A win they'll hope will kickstart their season.
The most clearances they've ever had in a first quarter, they had 20. So that's a great statement for Chris Fagan to say, this is where we need to be week in, week out. They're back at home, but they do lose Zach Bailey. So I think this is a really flip of the coin game. Brisbane at home should be too strong, but if a Geelong are the side in which we think they are, they might be able to win on the road.
Every single game of the weekend is live and free on the ABC Listen app. It's where you can hear Matt Clinch and the ABC AFL team. Clinchy, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Ducky. There's some ripping games.
Time for Soundbites. Collingwood defender Nathan Murphy this week retired due to ongoing concussion issues. Have a listen to how hectic his anxiety got during his recovery.
Pretty full on for me and my girlfriend and my family as well. We've kind of had to see me go through this all. There was a few times where I was also panic attacks in bed, and I've never experienced that before. And I think that's when the alarm bells really started ringing. And yeah, just everyday life, as I said, is a bit of a battle for me, but I'm in the right hands. And this isn't going to stop now just because I've given up football. As I said, this is an ongoing battle.
Wild, and really good that he's being open enough to talk about that. Golfer Rory McIlroy addressed reports he was set for a LIV defection.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously here today and I'm playing this PGA Tour event next week, and I will play the PGA Tour for the rest of my career.
Well, that's pretty definitive. Sporting heroes come in many different shapes and sizes. How about Serbian NBA player Boban Marjanovic? The Houston center was playing against the LA Clippers and after missing a free throw was alerted to the fact the venue gives away free chicken if an opposing player misses two in a row. Would he tank for chicken?
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
What a man. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to the Collingwood Football Club, the Golf Channel and Space City Home Network for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.